Wow.
I don't want vagina abs to stick. That sounds so awful.
Daddy, what's that?
Cyborg, I want to point out that you can't say the word wolf. You said night wolf before, and it's pissed me off ever since.
No beta code? I'm surprised.
Not bowing down to the con? That's a padloom.
Hey, Cyrox boy, guess what?
Who the fuck doesn't like Yoshi?
I don't like Yoshi.
What the fuck? Really?
How do we feel about Tremor? Because I gotta say this. I want to see him come.
Yes, but it's because I'm actually peeing in a bucket at the bottom of my seat. So,
Nitara's design.
You know, you're saying Nitara again.
Oh, shit, thank
you. Just let go.
I'm on so many drugs at the moment.
Great. Glad to hear it.
All right, well, I'm done being serious. We can talk about the taste of cock again. If that's what you guys want to.
Wait.
What?
This is my fucking ass hanging out. What, bitch?
Are we even recording right now?
We're not recording, of course not. Nobody's gonna listen to this.
I hear from, like, the sound of, like, bolts being loaded into a chamber and, like, shots being fired.
Is it like an air gun?
I'm hearing, like, Russian roulette, like, right up next to the mic. What's going on? Yep. Definitely taking shots with a rifle.
Welcome back to the Nethercast, everyone. I am Cyborg, joined as always by Razor and Shad, and Temp should be joining us momentarily. And it is episode 68. Crazy amount of episodes. And this week we are covering Injustice 2's arcade endings, or simulator tower things. Simulated endings. Echo.
Remember when arcade mode was a thing? Pepperidge Farm remembers. Capcom don't remember.
No.
NRS don't remember.
Nope, they don't.
Yep. Those were good times, though.
Not at all.
Also, before we start talking about the endings themselves, I want to point this out because I think a lot of people don't know where to find them once you've seen them. If you go into your gear and you hit the next tab over, that's where the endings are located to rewatch because there's no crypt in this game.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember reading about that as well because I would imagine most people would not be able to find that. I sure as hell wouldn't have noticed it if I hadn't read it, so... And I realized the funny nature. And when I said, unless you've read it, because I've read it.
You, good?
Are you all right there?
Yes. Now I am good. Okay. So, I mean... Do you want to just go in order on the select screen? I guess that makes the most sense here. Let's see what we got.
All right, so
pull
that
up the select screen, so I can.
I mean that starts us with Swamp Thing. I'm pretty sure.
That's fine.
So left to right.
That's fine. We'll go left to right, and then start at the bottom left, and then go bottom left to bottom right. Unless you feel like that's not cool.
Nah, it's fine. I don't care.
What would be cool? You want to do like a zigzag pattern where we do top left down up, you know, like a snake or something?
You say a name and I'll say what I think.
Okay.
How about that?
All right. Let me just pull up the select screen so I can follow along here. Injustice to select. All right. Things and stuff. Let's get this party rolling. Rolling.
Make sure you get the finished version, because the last time I searched for the select screen, the beta version came up a lot.
Yeah. I got the finished one here. So, first up, like you said, we got Swamp Thing. Go ahead and discuss the Swamp Thing arcade ending. It's been a while since I've even seen this one, so must not have left a great impression on me, because I don't remember. Well, actually, I do. Doesn't, like, the whole world just get taken over? Oh, full spoilers, of course. I mean, that should be
go without saying,
but
definitely
I figure...
Spoilers.
Figure might as well throw that in here before we break
open
that egg.
Who cares? Let's ruin them for you. They're not part of the real story, and they never will be. You're just playing for the loot anyway.
It's weird because, like, there are things that happened in the endings of Injustice 1 that do matter, like Batman sort of... Well, basically just Batman's ending. That one came true. But in this game, I don't imagine any of these matter at all.
Sub-Zero and motherfucking Ice Dragons represent.
That one sucks so bad. Okay, so let's just kind of breeze through these, otherwise we could be here forever. So Swamp Thing, he basically takes over the entire world with the green, correct?
Was it the entire world, or was it just Metropolis? Like, he just grows a bunch of trees in the middle of a city and decides, ha-ha, the green.
I don't know. That's a good point, I guess.
It's just there. It doesn't matter. It's just there.
Okay, so...
I mean, I can't really see...
That's a problem.
This happened even in the normal comics universe, but I don't know, man. It's just... He just kind of wants to be left alone with the green. I don't... This is kind of asinine. I don't buy it.
It could be better.
Yeah, I thought his was pretty run-of-the-mill, par for the course. Because there were certain characters where I was like, I mean, I'm curious what they do, but there were certain characters I was definitely expecting, like, cliche ending 101 that's very predictable. And then some of them really surprised me. Swamp Things was not surprising. It's basically what the character wanted. I mean, it's... Cut and dry is that it's, hey, more plants, less humans. Okay. But yeah, so, I mean, I don't think we're rating these. We're just kind of giving our impressions of the ones that stand out to us. But we'll move on because, yeah, I don't think a whole lot.
What I find odd about Swamp Thing's fuck humans thing is, like, human beings are a natural part of the world. Like, we're animals.
Right.
And, like... He cares about plants. He doesn't have any opinion about animals. So why is he against humans? Like,
well, I mean,
I get it. We cut down trees and stuff like that. But we're if he's
who's tapping? What's happening?
He's not Poison Ivy, where there's human opinion involved in like seeing us as outside of the order. Like, if he's a servant of a cosmic force of right. Mother Nature, we're part of nature.
Sure.
It doesn't make sense to me, but whatever.
I think going around and fucking up the planet goes a pretty long way towards the apathetic attitude, personally.
Yeah?
Yeah, but in his ending, he goes from apathetic all the way to antagonistic, and that's...
Which is why I consider it pretty damn dumb. I'm not cool with this one. It's stupid.
Anyway.
He's a stupid. Okay, well, let's move on to Cyborg. Cyborg basically reunites with the Titans, correct? He gets... He programs himself into Brainiac's ship, and he becomes even more of, like, a powerful technological mind, and then he manages to get the Titans back because of this, and...
Yeah, he finds them in the Phantom Zone, where they were left in the comic series. Which, I really like that one, but I think it's weird that he's the core regime guys, his ending is actually not in any way evil at all.
Yeah, he just kind of rescues his old friends, which makes sense. But yeah, I agree, that is kind of odd that Cyborg's usually just a dick in all of these, like, the comics and stuff, so for him to be the one that's just like, hey, I just want my friends back. Like, okay, that's understandable, all right. You are human. You do have a human part to you, after all. But yeah, I thought that was interesting because I thought we were going towards retconning the whole how the Titans were in the Phantom Zone. I thought they were left in Metropolis, or some of them died in Metropolis. Like,
no, that's not a retcon. Cyborg didn't know they were in the Phantom Zone. He thought they died.
Okay, so it's a retcon that he didn't know, even though.
I thought in the comics wasn't there, like, he actually doesn't know.
Well, no, in the comics he does, because in that issue where it's shown that Beast Boy and Kid Flash die in the Metropolis exploding, but the rest of them live, Cyborg goes to the funeral for Beast Boy and Kid Flash with Starfire and the rest of them. He knows that they didn't die in the Metropolis thing. They just disappear. So that's, yeah, that's a pretty big retcon for him to be like, I didn't know. You went to the funeral with them, you asshole. You went to the funeral. You know they survived to that point. But yeah, so I guess they retcon it to where he didn't know, which is probably the smarter play, because there was huge red flags of why Cyborg would side with the regime, knowing full well, like, hey, where'd the Titans go? They were fine after Metropolis. What happened to those guys? So, yeah, interesting. But that's not a bad retcon. I'm not opposed to that, because it did make Cyborg look like an even more giant douche that he wasn't, like, trying to find his friends. But yeah, no, that I consider that on the good side of the endings in terms of I thought it was decent.
Yeah, that one works for me.
It was a welcome change from predictable dickability.
Right.
It was nice to see Connor Kent in something, because he doesn't exist anymore in the comics.
Right.
Oh, is he just completely gone now?
Well, they completely retconned his backstory in the New 52, and then they killed him off. So the actual Connor Kent hasn't been around since Flashpoint, as far as I'm concerned.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, that covers it for Cyborgs. Let's move on to Catwoman's. And boy, do I have a bone to pick with this one. Ugh, God.
You know what?
I don't know.
I kind of like it.
It's a character, honestly.
Oh, God. Like, I'm so tired of this vicious circle with them.
It's the vicious circle that is what actually matters. For here, we're actually once getting to see what would happen if the vicious circle came to its logical modern era conclusion. You know, you've typically got like the two pop, like the normal outcome of Bruce and Selina actually hooking up and having a kid is, you know, the result of that is pretty much Helena, the Huntress these days. And that doesn't really hold up so well with how...
One of the Huntresses, the modern incarnation, Helena Bertinelli, has nothing to do with that.
Man. No, I know that. But, yeah. That kind of really doesn't wash so well with the way that Selena's portrayed these days. And I kind of feel that this is a good interpretation of what would actually happen if they decided to settle down. Because Selena can't settle down. She likes who she is. She doesn't particularly feel like being tied down. She's a lady of the night. In different ways.
Well, see, the problem I have
not
with
in that Frank Miller prostitute way.
No, I know. I'm not saying that's wrong or anything. That's a perfectly fine and logical and most likely scenario on how that plays out. But I mean, for God's sakes, as fan of both of these characters, I mean, I'm huge into Catwoman and Batman, and I love the happy ending for them. This is not the happy ending. Yeah, this might be the harsh reality of how this might actually play out. That's very well true. But this is not, like, oh, they finally get together, and then they realize it's not fun, because it was more of an unspoken thing before. So now that they're finally actually making it, you know, acknowledging the fact that they're together, they immediately just, like, they get married and then they're divorced, like, just like that. Just felt very, like, if this was a long story arc, I could understand, but this felt very, I know it's an ending, so you gotta wrap it up in just a few little beats, but it's so... it just leaves like a bad taste in my mouth where it's like, oh, they finally get the, oh, okay. Now they're just back to, like, this was pointless. It just feels pointless. Like, after all this time that they've been toying around with each other, they finally go through with it. And then as soon as they get married, they're divorced. It's like, come on.
I suppose it doesn't bother me that much because I'm just used to seeing things turn shitty for Bruce, no matter what potential ending of the DC universe or the current continuity, whatever continuity that you go with.
Right.
He's either a bitter, lonely old man, he's crippled, he's running a bat suit in like an underground gang of bat vigilantes from an underground bunker. Things just normally don't go well in like what if or universe endings for Bruce. There have been a few where he's just straight up dead. It's a very, very common theme that just Bruce's life is not going to lead him down a happy path, and it never will. It's a sad reality.
Yeah,
I don't know. This is actually an argument could be made that an argument could be made that the Batman Beyond ending is kind of happy because he sort of has a son who's not a dick like Damian to take care of him in the final years.
Like, there's that, and you've got that ending, and he and Dick haven't been talking, and Tim was the Joker for a little while, and this is the happy one.
There are elements of that where it's like, those are just sort of Bruce Tim-isms, like him and Dick having a falling out. That's not going to happen in the comics. Those guys are always going to be close.
See, I take the happy, ambiguous ending. I'll give me the Dark Knight Rises ending where they're just like, oh, they finally are going to attempt to settle down. And it's like, to me, at least that leaves hope that it ends up well for him. Whereas this is just like, oh, it ends up, oh. Like, it's immediately cutting the legs out of that.
I actually hate the end of Dark Knight Rises because it's the antithesis of Batman to me.
I know, I get it. He's the obsessive person that can never, like, settle down. I get that. And not just in a sense of, like, a relationship. He just can't ever step away from Batman. He's that obsessed with it. I get that. It's just the hopeful person in me wants to see that stage where he finally can let go and just be happy with his life, because that's ultimately what his parents would have wanted for him, is to just be happy and live a life. He doesn't need to be Batman all the time.
Well,
and I think
if his parents wanted their kid to be happy, they should have moved out of Gotham.
Sure.
No one's happy in Gotham except for the Joker. That's kind of the gag.
But either way, I don't know. I felt like, man, that it definitely, like, it's like giving you everything you wanted, and then it's like, nope, sorry, it's just Catwoman shits on him again, and it's like, dear God, like, it doesn't make me like Catwoman anymore, and it just makes me further like, ah, fuck, Batman just always gonna be this brooding guy, and it's not even so much the whole, like, Batman doesn't get his happy ending, it's more me just being like, God, why does Catwoman just always have to be this shitbag, like, why can't she just do the right thing in the end instead of, like, fucking, like, oh, married, oh, sorry, you're boring now. Like, what a shitty thing to do to somebody. Like, fuck. Anyways, we're digressing on this.
It just doesn't.
But we'll move on to The Flash. The Flash, you're going to have to remind me on this one. I'm pretty sure I saw it, but
he decides to settle the argument over whether or not they should kill Brainiac by picking Brainiac up and time-traveling, dumping him at the end of time.
Right, right. Okay.
And then as he's running back, he runs into all the other Flashes in the Speed Force. And it's like, supposed to be hinting that some crisis is coming, and, like, he's teaming up with Jay and Wally and the other Wally. And
right.
Jesse Quick. I thought it was weird that, like, the adult Wally West is wearing Flash's costume from the first Injustice game.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. That's funny. But yeah, this is kind of a neat ending, but this goes along those ones where it's like exactly what you would have expected. Like, this is the Flash being the Flash in the sense that he tries to, I mean, I dug the fact that he just tried to carry Brainiac to the end of time to where it wouldn't even matter anymore, where he could live, but he'd live in a world where it didn't matter. Like, I get that. I think that's a great, clever way to use the Flash. But him teaming up with the rest of the Flashes is like, okay, that's pretty par for the course.
This is an ending created to save space. Just, this is, okay, here is a thing that the Flash could do. Have fun with that. Okay.
Well, the thing, there are several endings. This is one of them, and Cyborg is one of them, where it's just the artist doing fan service, where they're like, here, we'll draw some of the characters who aren't in the game. And right. I appreciate that. It's boring, but I do like seeing the Wallys and Jesse Quick.
Sure. Absolutely. Agreed. Okay.
Not the best. Not offensive. It's just kind of there.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Hal's. Hal's, he... I don't know the exact order. I just know he ends up going undercover with the Yellow
Lanterns. He takes Brainiac to Oa to turn him into the Guardians.
Right.
And while he's there, he finds out that Sinestro has escaped the jails. And the Guardians send him on an undercover mission into the Sinestro Corps, so he has to wear the yellow ring again. And it's like, you just took the fucking thing off. Is this the best you can come up with? Like, you couldn't reference a different core or something? It has to be
dumb. Makes no sense.
It's also like Dancing with the Devil. I mean, this dude just did so many horrible things under the influence of this thing. You're ready to give. It's like a recovering alcoholic just finally managed to get demons.
Yeah,
and like, then as soon as he gets done, it's like, we need you to go undercover, drink this bottle. Like, you need to be an alcoholic and you need to live the part.
You need to actually have grizzle. Okay, go out. Take your car keys, your home keys, bus pass. Just go on a night of the town. Find yourself. The self we want you to find.
Yeah.
Meet here in the morning.
The guardians are the ones who put him in rehab, and the day he gets out, they hand him a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah. That's rough.
The guardians are kind of dicks. It's not out of character for them to do such dickish things, but
it's not.
Jesus, come on.
But also, like, does Sinestro not know that Hal put the green back on? Like, isn't he gonna notice when the guy who turned on him shows back up?
I forget. Did he actually see him put it back on in Injustice 1, or no?
At the end of Injustice 1, when the Earth 1 Superman shows up, Hal surrenders, takes off the O-ring, hands it over, turns himself in.
Right.
And they're both taken to Oa, and they're both thrown in jail. And then I guess they let Hal out and let him redeem himself. My thing is, the science cells, the Owen jail, all those cells have windows. So how does Sinestro not know that they let Hal out and made him green again?
They're blocking it. Wait, what are you doing in there?
It's put a very convincing green construct in there. A very convincing construct. They got Hal from another reality to substitute him.
I feel like there have got to be better guys who can go undercover.
Well, you have Geiger. Oh, you have, well, Kyle Rayne. Oh, there was Kilowog? No. Chip?
You mean to tell me you would not send Guy Gardner on an undercover mission with the utmost of faith? I would.
They're all dead. They're all absolutely dead. Those poor bastards.
Simon Bass. How about Simon Bass?
Something. Who cares? They'll be back.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen the last.
So yeah, that one's rough. Okay, so we move on to Harley.
It's okay, I guess.
I quite like this one. I think Smoke Man said he didn't like it. This one I actually enjoyed because this is that happy ending that I like. This is the one that I'm like, yes, character, like, the character arc is complete. I feel like she really has come a long way. Basically, in Harley's, she gets asked to become a member of the Justice League. So she does that, but it doesn't stop there. I think the coolest part wasn't the Justice League bit. The coolest part by far is the callback to her daughter from the comic. And she, in the Injustice comic, she had mentioned that she had a daughter and that she didn't let the Joker know about it and anybody else know about it because she was afraid of what he might do. She has one of her family members, like her sister, take care of her daughter for her. And I think her daughter's name is Lucy. And so in this ending, she gets her daughter back because she feels like she can finally take care of her on her own. And then in the background, you see Ollie and Dinah taking care of Connor. So they're kind of having like a little play date. And I thought it was just a very cool and fitting moment for Harley and just a nice heartwarming moment. But then she also... And she also mentions during the Justice League part that she occasionally has urges to kill, like urges to kill people, like go that extra length. But I mean, that's fine. That's still giving the character an edge. But I think ultimately, it's great that she's part of the Justice League. It's wonderful that they had the callback with the daughter. I think that's fantastic. I love that. And then throw in that little like, she still has that little unpredictability factor. I think that's really cool.
I can kind of understand why Smoke Man doesn't like it. There's an opinion that I see a lot online about Harley in this game, in this universe, is that she was a willing accomplice to blowing up Metropolis, and she's never paid for that crime.
Sure.
So seeing her, like, not only get away with it, but join the Justice League is offensive to a lot of people, and I don't necessarily agree with them, but I get it absolutely where they're coming from. Like,
okay,
I feel like Harley...
Those people need to shut up about Hal.
Yeah.
I'll kill people. Okay? You're going to bitch about a Harley, you bitch about Hal.
Exactly. I wholeheartedly agree with you.
It is wonderful to see a game where Harley is her own character, who is not the Joker's accomplice, who is not his sidekick.
Absolutely.
Who is doing her own thing, has her own story, has her own backstory. This is one of the best endings in the game. Shut your whore mouths.
And the character development for her in this series has been amazing. One, she's one of the best part, if not the best part, about the Injustice comic. She's written so well, consistently written well. She's great. And then in the games, the same. She has great character arc going for her, and she's getting more and more proven that she's trustable. And I love that about her. And that's, I loved, as we discussed before, the Joker part in story was another kind of like temptation for her. And then just seeing her ending here is kind of like that. It's seeing like it come, the arc come to fruition where she really is a reformed person. Like you completely buy that she is reformed. She still has her crazy factor to her. I mean, that's a part of her charm, obviously, but at the end of the day, this is a villain turned good again. And it was a villain with a tragic backstory of her own. It's not like, I mean, she was brainwashed by every sense of the meme to be the way she was by the Joker. And she was in an abusive relationship. So a lot of the actions she did, you can kind of give, I mean, it's not excusable, but at the same point, it's like she was a follower. She was not the one spearheading this plan. So whereas, go ahead.
I would also point to, there's a scene in the latest, was it last week's issue of the comic? Where she confesses to Ra's al Ghul that when she was going along with the Joker's plans, she was, like, hoping the entire time that they'd be beaten, that Superman would stop them. And, like, so that's why she didn't, like, that's why she went along with it.
And she didn't know about Lois's pregnancy, so they did.
She's always had that line, the character. There's shit that the Joker does that very often freaks her the fuck out.
Right.
This goes back to, like, DCAU here.
Yeah, like, she wasn't really in a position to say no.
And
to
if
the
she
Joker.
Was, that's, yeah, exactly. And there's always that,
I mean,
fear.
That's why I'm willing to forgive her. But there are people who are not that, I guess, empathetic.
But, yeah, no, I definitely dug the ending. I gotta read those last two or three issues. I've missed the last few chapters since the game came out, and I want to keep up with it because I love the series so much. And I've heard good things from the last few issues. But all right, let's move on to Batman's. Once again, you're gonna have to remind me. I don't remember what the hell happened here.
Let's see, Batman's ending. I'm trying to remember myself.
It must not have been that great.
if we're struggling here.
Yeah.
Do you need help with Batman's ending?
Yes,
yeah,
please.
Do you remember what happened to Batman's ending?
I do. He wins, and he basically semi-retires, but then does a lot of lab shit to prevent Superman from ever coming back again.
Okay.
All right.
It's super mundane.
Yes.
It was just him building weapons.
Yeah, angry, like, right. Silhouette of Superman grimacing in the background.
You're right. Somebody warns him about him coming back. Somebody said he's bound to break out, and then he's like,
well,
I'm gonna.
Superman himself says that in the story mode ending. He's like, you know, this won't hold me forever, and he's like, we'll be ready.
Yeah. Okay.
But Harley is a member of his Justice League here, and she's got a rocket back, and that's great.
Yes. I like that continuation from her own ending, is that she is in Batman's Justice League as well. It wasn't like part of her own personal fantasy to be a part of the Justice League. It's something that Batman's apparently ready to bring her in officially. And I think that's well-earned at this point.
There's a few endings about the new Justice League that Batman forms if his ending comes true, and I think Harley's in all of them.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah, definitely well-earned, because she's been pro-Batman pretty much from the start of it, so after everything went down. So I like that. I like that continuation with her, so let's move on to Superman. We're going from top left to top right, and then we'll hit the bottom row, bottom left to bottom right.
Right.
Just so you're aware.
Superman's gotcha. Basically continues from if he wins in story mode, where he lets out all the, like, super strong races that are in Brainiac's collection, like Daxamites and Zardians and shit, and he forms what he calls a Legion of Superheroes.
Right. Yeah, and I liked seeing the Legionnaires in there. I just watched it just now, actually, without sound. That's what I'm doing currently, is just going through any ones that I haven't seen. I'm just playing them without sound. I'm doing the arcade endings myself, because I want to complete them all anyways in-game. I don't know if you get anything for it, but other than probably an achievement or trophy or whatever.
You don't get anything for it. I don't know if you get a trophy. I haven't checked my trophies.
But either way, so I did see his, didn't hear it, but it looked cool. I was glad to see the Legionnaires and Brainiac 5 and all that. Nope.
Well, that's
Brainiac. Yeah, I'm getting all mixed up.
Superman's ending.
You're right.
Superman's ending. It's him,
Damian, Cyborg, Wonder Woman,
Lobo.
Yeah, Lobo.
Some
looks like a Manhunter with wings.
Right.
I think that's a Gordanian.
I have no idea.
I don't know. There's a lot of races in the DC universe.
It was cool to see Lobo again for sure. Like a little cameo in there.
Some weird dudes in pink.
The tentacle guys are Durlins.
They're what?
Durlins.
They're
like Chameleon Boy, I think, in the actual Legion of Superheroes is one, but he shapeshifts to look more human.
Hmm.
But in current continuity, they're pretty much just Cthulhu-esque tentacle men.
Hmm.
And they're like a race of bad guys, more like they're villains of the Green Lantern Corps these days.
Interesting.
I have always thought that Marvel had a much stronger Cosmic Heroes game. Anyway.
Yeah. All DC has that's good is the Lanterns.
Alright.
So yeah, this is how you think Superman's kind of lost touch. I mean, there are so many signs, whatnot, but
you know,
when you form a league and put Lobo in it, you got problems, boy.
It's definitely an army of bad guys. Like even if the Durlins and like if none of the like scary looking green guys were in that group, Hawkmen are assholes outside of Hawkman himself. The Thanagarians are not good people.
Yeah, Hawkman's character is rather questionable, honestly.
Yeah, especially in the Injustice comics where he's just basically playing abusive husband to hot girls. So.
Even in Blackest Night, he's still kind of a douche.
Yeah. Yeah.
But all right, so yeah, Superman's is just pretty much, just creating a league of bad dudes. A little shock there. We'll move on to the Jokers. The Joker's, he basically, once he kills Brainiac, he takes over, he gets all those societies again, like he recovers a lot of his societies, and he just starts, like, coming up with, like, a mad scientist version of restoring them to where he's restoring certain violent societies next to other violent societies, like merging worlds and planets, etc.
Yeah, he basically drops off every bottle city in the same space.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And then
he do it? Because like some man just overused movie catchphrase.
And he literally grabs popcorn and then sits in the ship above everything and just wants to watch everything destroy each other. Like that is
popcorn. Great touch.
Yeah, that is very, like, that's one of those cliche endings that's actually really good. Like, this is just what you enjoy of the Joker.
Like, it's amusing, I like it, but I also think it's kind of weird and disappointing that the Joker got an ending the same as everybody else, where it's, what if he beat Brainiac, when he's not even actually in the game. Like, he's mere gasoline. Yeah.
What if I had never died, which this story would have never taken place, had I beaten Brainiac? Like, it doesn't...
I wish it was Harley Quinn's ending, where Harley Quinn just talks about the Joker, since really his whole presence in the game was inside her head. Yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, it's great, but yeah, I agree that it is odd that... I'm not a fan of that style of ending anyways. I mean, that's what we always get with MK, and we're getting it here for the most part, is, what if I had beaten the bad guy? And it's like, we know 98% of them do not even stand a remote shot of beating Brainiac. So,
well,
yeah.
What frustrates me is we had gotten away from that in the 3D era, and then with MK9, they went right back to it.
Yeah. So, with that said,
I'm going to be a bit of a sentimental dolt here and say that I don't particularly mind. It feels like tradition to me. I guess that's one area in which I'm a little bit conservative.
I like that tradition. I want all the arcade endings to be canon.
I agree with that. I want to see canon endings as well. I want to see what these characters are doing in this world. And if they happen to die in story, well, show us something that they did before story or something that fleshes them out. I don't know.
So do I. So do I, but I don't mind the occasional rampant bit of lunacy that is just not remotely feasible, but it's very entertaining.
Yeah, like, the concept of the notion. You can do a goofy, if I beat the boss ending, for somebody who's already, like, dies in story mode. Like, if Dr. Fate had one of those, I'm fine with that. You know, if an MK9 Shang Tsung has an ending like that, because he fucking dies, that doesn't bother me. But I just want more that could actually come true.
Sure.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, well, let's move on to Atrocitus. And I actually thought this was one of the stronger endings of the game. This is one that I would imagine surprised most of us in the sense that it wasn't just rage, 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 Hal Jordan. It was, he actually like has good character development here. And it's one of those endings that it's like, man, I want to see where this goes. I hope hope this isn't it for him. To describe it real quick. What's that?
It's odd. I'll let you describe it first.
But yeah, basically he's all raged out like he normally is. And then what does he get blamed for?
What happens is, when he beats Brainiac, he accidentally destroys the Bottle City.
There you go.
And this causes, like, because of all the dead, this causes too much rage. And his core lose control from it and turn against him.
Right.
And he's rescued by Proselyte, the Indigo Core's version of Parallax. It's like a big energy octopus sort of thing.
Sure.
And it's like the entity of pure compassion. And it basically saves him. And he realizes that too much rage is a bad thing. You need balance. So he decides to unite the Red Lanterns with all the other cores.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
I would have to go like full Indigo Core and be all, come on, people, now. Smile on your brother. But they didn't go that route. And I was pleasantly surprised.
All right. Well, next we have Gorilla Grid.
Harambe.
Jesus.
Can we not?
Can we just let that go?
I mean, I wish we could, but people are saying it on the Facebook, and now it's in my head.
Harambe. Here we go.
There were, under no point of this ending, any dicks out for Harambe, were there? I guess Superman's kind of a knowledge. Dick. He was, like, serving food. So I guess that he did have a bunch of dicks out for Harambe.
I have not seen it yet. I'm currently watching Grodd beat up Brainiac, so like I have not gotten to it. So you're gonna have to describe what happened.
This is one of those exactly what you'd expect kind of endings. Grodd mind controls everybody, and I mean everybody. All is Grodd. Kneel before Grodd. The end.
Yeah, like there's a scene of him and his gorillas having a feast, and the servants at the table are like superheroes with that Brainiac gear on their heads.
Gotcha. All right. I mean, yeah, that's pretty cliche and predictable. I guess where else do you take the character? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, Grodd's pretty wonderful.
There's a case to be made actually for having an ending that fucks over the character, you know?
Yeah,
I really
have to be Reptile every single time. I could think of no one more deserving than Grodd. If one character had to have an ending where they got fucked over and their plans were ruined, I would like Grodd to be that character. But it is what it is.
Yeah, I've always really liked how Reptile will die in his own ending.
It was cool for a little while. Now I'm sad whenever I look at him.
I feel like
not even during his endings. I just look at Reptile, and a part of me just goes, ugh.
I don't know. For me, it's gotten to the point where I actually look forward to feeling sorry for Reptile. Like, that's what I'm looking for from that kid.
It's an endearing character trait at this point, to be honest with you.
Him his moment.
He had his moment. It was when he turned into Onaga.
Yeah, but
that's
my
mean.
Choice, though. It doesn't
No, that's the closest you're ever going to get. It's not even him, but, you know. That's
I just want him to meet Chameleon and get laid. Is that so much to ask?
At this point, I want Chameleon to meet him and think he's pathetic and not sleep with him.
You're the reason this is happening, isn't it? What have you been telling those writers? God!
All right.
Well, I mean, you're on the same show I'm on, so you've heard it.
Okay, next up is Cheetah. Cheetah, basically, after she defeats Brainiac, she makes a deal with him, and then she gets to create all the cities to hunt, basically. She has cities created for her where she's just hunting people like it's the fucking The Greatest Game or whatever the hell that book is called.
The Deadliest
Game. And then after she obviously double crosses Brainiac, once this is done, she shrinks his head, which is a nice touch. She shrinks his head and is wearing it around her neck like a necklace. And then, yeah, she's just hunting people down, which I thought that was cool. That's one where, yeah, you're not really surprised by what she would want. But at the same time, it was done in a way that I was like, oh, okay, I see what they're going for here.
Yeah, it's fair enough. It's Cheetah being Cheetah.
I guess. I mean, I'm not sure if this is me or NRS, but I'm not sure that Cheetah's character in the comics is that about, like, hunting people. Like, what I really know about her is that she's basically if Lara Croft were accidentally cursed and turned into a furry. Like, she's more about treasure. But this game really pushes the idea that she likes to hunt people for fun, so... whatever.
You know what? If they want to give her a new defining characteristic of her own, sure, okay, I'm cool with that. All right. Maybe it'll actually have some sort of positive impact going into the future. I'm not saying that she's bland in the comics. I don't know. I don't read a lot of Wonder Woman comics. And her appearances on the Justice League cartoon are basically limited to, you know, just kind of glorified henchmen.
Yeah, in the Justice League cartoon, they completely changed her backstory. Like, she was a scientist who accidentally genetically engineered herself into a cheetah.
Yeah,
like, she had the backstory of a Batman villain instead of a Wonder Woman villain in that show.
It's DC. Everything's really Batman. If it's not yet, it will be.
Batman is taking over. Everybody is Batman.
I love
Diana, where have you been? Cartoon. I hear who's doing great. I'm Batman.
Guess what?
I love
you can't have people complain that there's too many Batman characters on the roster if every character becomes Batman character.
That's true.
Injustice 3.
That's how they get you. That's how they get you. But no, like I really love the Justice League cartoon, but Wonder Woman and Green Lantern, the Rogues Galleries, both got screwed by that show.
Absolutely.
All right. Next up, we have Deadshot, and this is. Happy ending, Deadshot? Correct? If I remember correctly.
And a very good ending, too.
It is a good ending. It bothers me because he doesn't have a mustache in it. Like, Floyd Lawton should never have a mustache.
How odd was that?
It's really weird. It's like, who's that guy? That's not Floyd.
That's exactly what I thought. Like, that's not Floyd. There's no mustache in it, and he's not smoking.
That's not Floyd. Who are you? Where's your mustache?
Daughter,
but... I'm gonna look it up again because I just remember like what the fuck was that?
Yeah. So basically,
I thought he was someone else.
Basically, his ending is that does he work with Batman to get his thing out of his brain?
Yes, Batman does the operation.
Okay, so yeah.
I don't know if he literally does the operation, but he provides the resources.
He joins Batman's side, and he gets a surgery to get the bomb taken out of his brain, and then he starts hanging out with his daughter again. That's basically it.
Yeah, that's cool.
I was like, why is this ginger chick hooking up with Billy Zane? But anyway.
But yeah, that's a nice one. I think that's a predictable one, but that's one of those that you're like, you're hoping is the case. You're hoping it's not like, oh, Deadshot's just an asshole for some reason. Like, no, you want him reconnecting with his daughter and all that. So good to have there. And the last
one, maybe it's a Star Trek thing where like the alternate universe version of him is not quite as bad as the normal one. So we have the default mirror universe Floyd Lawton with a beard or a stash, which signifies evil. This is good Deadshot. That's why he's not mustached. There we go.
All right.
He should have the mustache. It's not him without it.
I agree.
And then the last one on the top. Last one on the top row is Poison Ivy. So she basically just does full on like evil bitch, like. I'm all about the plants type thing.
She uses her mind control on Brainiac. The end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which actually kind of bothered me, because I don't think her spores should work on a cyborg. Like, why does Brainiac have a sex drive all of a sudden? I don't think that would work.
Yeah, kind of questionable.
Yeah, I don't know the logistics of it. I know it was like, as a Poison Ivy fan, I was like, yeah, this is pretty much what I expected, but it wasn't like better or worse than what I expected. It was just pretty much par for the course. So in a way, it was disappointing because I was like, hopefully they do something unique with her. Maybe they play up something with Harley or something would have been kind of neat. But nope, it's just, hey, I like plants. It's the Swamp Thing syndrome where it's just like, hey, this is my one note. Whereas I feel like Ivy does a little bit more than that. It's not just purely that, but that's what we got here. It was just plants, plants, plants. Fuck everyone else.
Tiny plant plants. Why not?
All great right, artwork, man. Though. I like the...
Oh, yeah. The artwork on all of these is tremendous. I love this style, and I love... It should be worth noting, I love them narrating their own endings. It's great.
Oh, yes. That's actually, I think, one of the better innovations in this game, is that finally the endings are in the character's own voice.
Yeah, like, rather than a random person. Just like
that's something they were going to do back in Deception with the bios and endings, and then they didn't. Like, they left it on the cutting room floor. Hmm. Like, there's a test footage of Ermac's bio narrated by Ermac in a crypt.
I remember that.
And they're final. Like, it took them like 15 years to finally do it.
Yeah.
Well, if I remember correctly, doesn't Shevchenko narrate all the endings in Deception?
Yeah, I think it was Shevchenko.
It is.
Okay.
I just remember like being awestruck at seeing Sub finally find smoke and all the horrible things that happened afterwards. But listening to Shevchenko talk about it. Talk to me through.
But yeah, like all the bios were written in the first person. They were supposed to actually be videos.
Anyway, the characters.
The whole problem with this is that if you do this and Reptile's narrating, all you're just gonna get is uncontrollable sobbing.
I died here.
Why is this? Why are you doing this for?
And he's like, Reptile tries to go into business for himself. He's like, so I had to sacrifice my... No, fuck it. I got like a speedboat and a bunch of hook. And then all of a sudden he's like off screen. You're like, finish it, Reptile. Say what really happened. Say what really happened.
The secret, what you actually do is you have everybody narrate their own endings except Reptile. His is narrated by the boss. Who kills
the one
him.
That kills him.
I'm not lying. It was called the Dragon MK1. It was the sweetest boat. Shut up and get me a coffee.
Reptile thought that I would keep my end of the bargain, but I have got my word. All deals are off.
All right. Did you guys... These are going to take a bit longer. Do you want to save the other half for next week and then still cover like the Red Hood stuff? Because we got opinions on the trailer, of course. And then I think it's worth noting, I do want to kind of do like a little bit of a... I don't know if we want to do this in its own video or not. I'm still kind of undecided. I think ultimately that'd be the better format. But I would like to kind of address the gear system and some of the kind of issues with that whole... After having another week of playing it, just kind of addressing that whole thing. So maybe, is everybody cool with saving the bottom row for next week?
Yeah, doable.
We could.
Okay.
I could go on at length.
I still haven't seen a lot of the endings, to be honest with you, so I'm fine with that.
Okay. Well, then we'll save the bottom half, because, yeah, we do have other stuff to cover. Let's start with Red Hood, then we can end out on any gear-related comments. So Red Hood. We got the trailer revealed for Red Hood. We know he's coming in June at some point, which it is now June. So here at some point in the next 4 weeks, we're definitely getting Red Hood. And yeah, that I think he looks great. I'll get my thoughts out real quick. Is just he's exactly what I would have wanted, it looks like. There was some debate between Django and I in terms of whether he's more rushed down or if he's more zoner heavy or if it's a mix of both and somewhere in the middle, so on and so forth. I'm still of the impression that it looks like he's about mid-range in the terms of he can rush down and he can zone, but he's not going to do either 100%. I mean, we're not looking at Deadshot here, but we're not looking at Cheetah by any means. I think he's in that category with like Harley or Ivy in the sense that he could probably do a little bit of both, and a lot of his combos, if you meter burn a lot of his stuff, it's going to send the opponent about mid-screen to full-screen, so he does have that zoner-like quality to him, but at the same time, I didn't see a whole lot of moves that were zonery. Like, he has the straight shuriken throw, he has the anti-air shurikens, and then he has, like, the diving backwards while he shoots Max Payne style, so... Yeah, those are kind of zonery, but it's not like, oh, I'm shooting you low, now I'm shooting you high, now I'm shooting you mid, and just completely, and then a bunch of pushback stuff as you're trying to get in. A lot of his stuff, I think Shadaloo hit it pretty well when he said that he's not so much zonery, he's more anti-rushdown, in the sense that when you're coming in on him, he has a lot of stuff to answer that. It looks like he might have a parry with when Joker's coming in at him, he has that little pistol
tool. Gun flip spin knocked him the fuck down.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to be a very important tool in his arsenal.
Yeah, he's just got a lot of cool stuff, but I mean, he has great combo potential. I mean, 90% of the trailer was him doing combos, so that's why it's hard for me to believe that he's just like more zoner heavy. It seems like he's maybe 60, 70% rushdown with 30% zoning options and some anti-rushdown options as well. So he's kind of playing that mid-range game. But all in all, what I would have wanted, I mean, anything where it was like, oh, you have some zoning options, but you can get up in their face if you want to. That's what I was looking for. I didn't want a Deadshot scenario where it's like two people that are just using their guns to completely... you know, zone the shit out of their opponent. And it does not look like that's the case here. So I'm happy with that. And honestly, his gameplay looked really, really awesome. A lot of it had great style to it and exactly what I wanted with the flips and the gunplay in the middle of stuff. I think we all love the where he goes to shoot him and then the magazine's empty. So he just throws it at his opponent's head, the gun, and then it flips off his head. He catches it and then starts shooting him. So good stuff. Thoughts?
Yeah.
It's the main.
Very exciting. I'm just really happy that he can't follow up all that stuff that pushes you full screen by locking you down full screen the way fucking Deadshot can. That's the problem with Deadshot. It's not that he has so many projectiles, it's that he has those combined with the ability to keep you pushed.
Yeah.
Like, if it's one or the other, that's fine, but both is what makes him a broken character, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, and so the fact that Red Hood is definitely not that is very, I'm very glad to see that he's actually, like, you will be able to enjoy watching a fight that Red Hood is in.
Yeah, no, definitely. He has a lot of interesting stuff to watch, whereas I agree watching Deadshot is not the most interesting thing by any means.
It's frustrating to fight against Deadshot, and it's boring as hell to watch a Deadshot.
What were you saying, Shed?
It's just funny to me. You just need to have an aura of detachment and laugh at it. And laugh at it. And laugh at it. Because, I mean, it's fucking Deadshot. I don't know what people were expecting.
No, that's why my problem isn't his zoning. I agree with Temp in that if he has any problem, it's the fucking that his normal's so fucking good when you finally get in. When
that is
Temp said it best. When you get in on that, when you manage to get in on a really heavy zoner, that's really fucking good at keeping you out. When you finally get in, you should be making them your bitch. But Deadshot is not that. When you get in, he still has stuff to outdo your rushdown. Like, he has stuff to fuck your day up with his low overhead mix-up shit.
And it doesn't even really have to get in either. That's the worst part. A lot of his shit works from, like, sweet distance. So you're guessing high and low, not even up close, but, like, within footsie range. I'm like, what the... I have a lot to say on Deadshot, to be honest with you. I've been learning the character, and he's all right. I don't really enjoy... He's not one of my favorite characters. I've actually learned other characters that have surprised me way more. But I think my biggest problems are just the high-low footsies are kind of ridiculous. And the fact that he has a wake-up, I don't necessarily mind him having a wake-up. I think zoners should have decent defensive options. But if you EX burn that wake up, it's -3 on block and it's combo potential. I believe, pretty sure you can. I haven't messed around with him a lot, but I'm pretty sure you can convert off of that meter burn knee. So that's kind of fun. I don't understand it. I don't think it's broken. I just don't know what Paulo was thinking. It's such a weird character design, and really everyone outside of Sonic Fox who's tried to use him in tournament has fallen on their face. Honeybee tried to use him at Toriyuken when Flash wasn't working out, and he immediately had to counterpick back to Flash because the Deadshot got bodied so badly by Harley Quinn. Even Sonic Fox, he didn't use just Deadshot. Deadshot was for some matchups, Black Adam was for others. So, I don't know, I think he's number four in the game solidly, but he's still stupid. I think he's a bad character design. I don't think he's broken. I just think he's dumb. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I that's what I agree. I feel like most people that complain about Deadshot are just complaining about the zoning and expecting, like, oh, this character, it just sucks to fight him against him, which I agree. But to Shad's point, what are you expecting? That's what the character should be, is a character that's pure zoner. My issue is more when I fucking work my ass off to get in and take a ton of chip damage to get in, so on and so forth, burn meters to meter burn roll and get in. If I can do it at the exact timing that you have to do to get around his shots being so damn quick, even meter burn rolling is a pain in the ass to pull off. When you finally do that, he should not have as great of a footsie tool as you do like that. You should be making him your bitch and then rinse and repeat. If he manages to get away again, it's once again, you got to do it again. It's cat and mouse. It shouldn't be, oh, I chase you, and then when I get to you, you fucking push my shit in even harder. So that's my issue with the character, is it just seems like he has too good of a up close game for somebody that should be designed purely of, I need to keep you as far away as possible, and that's it.
It really helps when you put him next to another character. Like, when I think about Deadshot in a vacuum, I'm like, it's just a stupid... He's an A-plus character. But when you put him next to Blue Beetle, whose best mid is 15 frames startup and doesn't even work unless you're at throw distance, fuck that shit. Like, that makes me jelly as hell. So, yeah, I don't understand it. I don't know why, like... God, I don't want to talk about Beetle right now. I actually think he's not bad, but he's a lot of work. You really have to put in the time with that. I actually think he's probably high mid-tier, but we'll see. Just an exhausting character.
All right, well, back to Red Hood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think his gameplay looks like a lot of fun. Loved his intro, loved his outro. This character definitely has some fun stuff going on, so I'm excited for him. I'm definitely going to give him a try. Any Batman character, I'm definitely going to try. I mean, it's just me being me, biased favoritism, of course, nostalgia factor. So I'm glad to see, I'm glad that you enjoyed him, Shad. I know he was high up on both your original list for the game you wanted him, and he was on your DC wish list at the top. So I'm glad that you are excited to play him and that he looks to be a character that you're going to have fun with. So I'm interested to see how that turns out. I definitely want to try him. He's not going to be in my top three or four by any means, but I at least want to give him a shot and see how fun he is.
What really gets me is that for once it might be a case where a character you want to play as looks like he plays the way that would really, really suit me. So very happy.
Cool. Yeah, that's good to hear. If anybody was going to be happy with him, I'm glad you were happy with him, because you were pulling for him the most out of our little circle, at least. Any other thoughts on Red Hood? Predictions when you think he's going to be released? I'm thinking mid-June. I don't think it's going to be late June. I'm thinking it's going to be... I would think it's either... Probably not this upcoming week, but maybe the week after we'll get a Watchtower with, you know, a reveal for him, and then he's going to be released shortly after. So that's kind of what I'm expecting.
I'm going to say like the third week of June is my prediction.
Yeah.
Let's say second.
Second or third, I think, is probably the most likely for sure. Okay. All right. Well, then let's move on to the gear system. I just wanted to touch upon this because this is something that we've all probably felt at some point through playing this game, and I know other people are starting to really catch on like Reddit, etc., and our Facebook group is, let's talk about source crystals and let's talk about gear, and we'll just kind of cover these because I don't know if I'll ever get around to a video of making this. I want it to be kind of short and concise in a video form, but for the sake of this podcast, I think it's worth addressing sooner rather than later, so let's get it out there. On the subject of source crystals, It appears that after level 60, you stop earning them, which is disappointing because the only time you really earn them in-game is by leveling up and completing certain things. But I'm not sure if there's a list somewhere of what you have to complete to earn them. I know when I put 5 pieces of epic armor on a character, so like every piece of armor they were wearing was an epic armor, I got 1,000 source crystals awarded to me out of nowhere. And I was like, oh, that's cool. It's nice that they do that. So I've saved all mine. I haven't spent a single source crystal. But I mean, like, things cost a lot of source crystals in this game. And it's not just, we're not talking just the shaders, which are 4,000, which seems overpriced for source crystals, something that you have to spend actual money on to obtain unless you hoard them like crazy. And then, like I said, after level 60, you stop earning them for leveling up. So you no longer acquire them. So if there's not any other concrete way of earning them in game by completing certain objectives that are clear, or if they don't offer them in multiverse at some point, you're basically stuck to buying them just to get certain things that you can't acquire otherwise. Shaders you can earn in game regardless. So those I'm not a, you know, they're overpriced for what they are. Shaders shouldn't be 4,000 source crystals. I think that comes out to be, what did we say? We talked about this. I think it was for $5, you can get 6,000 source crystals, something like that. I don't know. If somebody wants to look up the pricing on that again real quick, that would be fantastic. I can't mute my mic, so I can't do that. But if somebody can pull all those up, that'd be great. Because I know the source crystals are done in a way where if you purchase them, you can't purchase the actual amount that you want. You have to purchase them in bundles. And say a $5 bundle is just short of what you're looking for. So I think $5 was, like, it's designed so you're always shortened on, you're always going to have some left over. So you're always encouraged to buy more. Just like Microsoft points used to be, just like PSN points still are, to where you're always left with an uneven amount left. So you're encouraged, like, oh, I don't want to leave 1,000 source crystals sitting around, so now I need to buy more to get, you know, something else. So it's a scheme that they do that's very popular amongst companies. They do it on purpose just for that reason. But anyways, go ahead.
The costs, you get 2,000 for a dollar. So a shader costs $2.
Right, which is overpriced in my opinion for a color swap. Agreed? Does everybody else agree with that?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, that should not be more than a dollar tops. Okay. Tops a dollar for a fucking color.
So here's my thing. And like there are shaders that you're locked out of even being able to buy.
Right.
Which I assume, I'm hoping that means that those are part of multiverse events that just haven't come up yet.
Sure.
Because it's only been, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah. Roughly, yeah.
But then it's like, the most you can earn in the game before you hit level 60, I don't think that's enough to buy Mr. Freeze, Vixen, Jay Garrick, all of the premier skins. I think you have to spend money to get them all.
Yeah, that is accurate.
That's a fucking scam.
I have not spent any.
Why am I not surprised?
I have not spent any of my source crystals, and this is including the 1,000 that I got for putting all the epic gear on there, and I might have gotten more from other random things. But I'm sitting at 12,450, and I am at level, I want to say 54. So by 60, and I think you get 200 every time you level up.
Yeah,
so
I'm past level 60. I think I have 13,500 source crystals, and that's only enough for 2 premier characters.
Right. And then, yeah, so by default, you're not going to be able to get all the premier skins that came with the game. Because I thought you were going to be able to get those premier skins just by playing the game. So it sucks that you actually have to spend your source crystals just to unlock those. So that really sucks. But on top of that, going back to the pricing structure. So you said for 2,000, it's $1 for 2,000.
$1 for 2,000.
Yeah, right.
$5 gets you 10,000.
Okay, so let's stop right there real quick. So 10,000. So,
or 11,000.
11,000 for $5 is what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, so they just short you enough, so you can't get 3 shaders. So 3 shaders would be 12,000. So they just short you, so you need to buy more. So that's kind of my point, is $5, you can't even get that 3rd shader. They shorted you by 1,000, so therefore you're tempted to buy more. On the flip end, or on the flip side, you could get that $5, and let's say you get those 11,000 source crystals. Say you want to buy a premier skin and a shader. Because you can't get two premier skins, you're 1,000 short if you want two premier skins by that $5, so you need to buy more. Say you want a shader and a premier skin, that's 10,000, so you have 1,000 left over. You see what I'm saying? Where it's always you either have 1,000 left over, you have 1,000 short, you're never coming out even. That is the kind of like shady shit that I do not like. It's disgusting. It's that business tactics bullshit that it's like, hey, let's specifically set them out in these quantities where it's not evenly going to come out with anything. If shaders are 4,000 and to level up a character immediately is 10,000, premier skin 6,000, we're dealing with even numbers here. And we're always getting odd turnouts by no matter how many, you know, you pay for. That sucks. Or you can do a dollar for 2,000, but then you're spending even more by going dollar per dollar. So, yeah, I am. That's just the kind of thing that's, like, annoying to me. Now, if they make source crystals available through multiverse, like, events, which I wouldn't put them past it to do, but at the same time, I would be kind of surprised at this point if they do that, because that's their money income that they're looking at, is if they start offering source crystals for rewards, then that's less money that people are going to buy into their microtransaction system. But to me, that sucks that you can't even earn what was going to originally be put in the game by the amount of source crystals that you can acquire, unless we're missing things. There could always be challenges that you can complete, like I said, with the epic gear, but those aren't made readily apparent and transparent enough to know that you don't need to buy it. So some random thing that happens down a month from now, it's like, oh, you completed this, you get more source crystals. It's like, you're not aware of that. So if you're somebody that's like, ah, shit, well, I want that premier skin, I want all these premier skins, you're going to have to pay up front just for what was designed by the time the game came out. That sucks. That really sucks. I thought at the very least they would allow you to acquire all three of those. And shaders are just, like I said, those are just completely overpriced. To me, that's insane. Even the premier skins are slightly overpriced, less so than the shaders. I think there's six, so there's 6,000. So that's roughly, what does that come out? So $5 gets you 11,000. So you're paying about $3 for it for each premier skin. I feel like with a premier skin, it shouldn't be more than like $2, $2.50 at tops. So I know we're just splitting hairs at like 50 cents to a dollar, but still, like, I mean, these are things that they're probably going to put out more in the future. More premier skins. I expect more premier skins. I expect more shaders. And if that's how you have to acquire them, that sucks balls. But then it doesn't stop there. Let's go to transform gear. And this is probably the worst of them all. So say you want to transform a set of gear because you want a certain set of stats from a different set to go onto a set and have it look a certain way with a certain stats that you like. To transform gear, I believe each piece is around 2,000. Does anybody know about that for sure? Let me see if I can find a way to... yeah, it's 2,000 source crystal per item.
Yeah, that's a lot.
No microtransactions in the game, guys! No microtransactions! All the gear's free! Whenever someone talks like that, perk your ears the fuck up. There is always a catch.
I don't know. Transforming doesn't seem that useful to me anyway.
I do want to add, though, that the currencies are really fucking confusing. So when it asks you, do you want to pay this much money to transform something, I, at least when I did it, I had no idea what currency I was using. I didn't know if I was using the purple shit, the green shit, or one of the gold shits. I had no idea. It's still going, honestly.
It says at the top left, but I could see why that would be missing. Like, it sucks that there's so many you have credits, you have guild credits, you have regen tokens, and you have source crystals. I mean, talk about fucking confusing and convoluted.
Okay, well, when you say it's on the top left, I'm looking at it now, you're right.
Yeah.
But my god, is there so much shit on the screen. The UI is filled with so much shit. Which is a shame, because considering all the things on screen, they still don't give you a lot of information when you're trying to make decisions about your gear.
Yeah.
So, I don't like the gear system much. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of time. It makes me stop what I'm doing. It makes me stop having fun so I can micromanage bullshit. I mean, it sucks to go through gear piece after gear piece only to find out you didn't... Like, Firestorm, gets no gear. I sell all his shit. The character looks good enough. I don't need to worry about gear. It's too much work.
All I want is a Tekken costume designer. Come on. I don't want doubles of items, and I don't want stats, and I don't want to fucking...
Sure. And
delete things because there's an amount of space limit. Like, just give me a closet.
Sure.
Stuff I put on or take off.
Before I do want to dive into gear. I just want to finish up Source Crystals before I forget my last point. But with Source Crystals, what I was saying about transform gear is to do a full set, you're looking at 10,000 gold or 10,000 Source Crystals, which means you're going to be paying $5 just to transform an entire set of gear. That's fucking insane to me. Pay $5 to level up to level up a character. It's 10,000 to get them to level 20 immediately. It's something that can save people time. I get it, but I mean, it just seems silly. I mean, it just seems so silly to charge these amounts, these arbitrary amounts for these arbitrary amount of time being spent. It's just stupid. Like, say you level up one character to level 20. You have to pay, 28 other characters after your first character, 28 times 5. Put that into, 28 times 5. Put that into perspective. That's how much you're spending to level up every other single character just to level 20. That's just fucking, it just seems so silly to me. Like, that is not acceptable. That's over $100 just to finish out the rest of the crew. And I'm not, who gives a shit about levels at the end of the fucking day? It's nice to be able to put on the gear that you acquire. But at the end of the day, I mean, all of us can grind out our time, no big deal. We're going to be playing the game anyways. We don't need a level 20 character in, a split second. But just to think that they even offer that, hey, we're going to save you time. Just spend over $100 to, get the rest of this taken care of for you. Oh, you like this gear, but you want, these stats? Oh, just go ahead and drop another $5. Oh, you want that shader real quick? Drop, you want these three shaders? Drop $6 real quick. You want all the premier skins in the game? Drop another $5. That's the kind of stuff that's just, it's just gouging. It may not be pay to win, because they did say it's not pay to win, and it's not pay to win. But it's just gouging. It's just hey, just give us a little bit more money. Just give us a little bit more money. And the reason why it bothers me, and now this is going to be the segue into the gear system and how flawed it is, is the reason why it bothers me is if this was in a reasonable gear system where you can only acquire each piece once and there's about 50% less of the gear, so it's not so damn monotonous and just flooded and padded and fluffed with so much just random, very minute changes. I mean, I have Scarecrow gear that's just it all looks, not at all, but I mean, there's so many pieces that look the fucking same. It just has a different name with different stats. I don't give a fuck about the different stats. I don't give a fuck about the different name. I don't give a fuck if it's rare, epic, or whatever. Just let me... I just want it to look a certain way. So they are banking on the stat system for this gear system and people giving a shit about the stats. They want people to just have to just sit there and be obsessed with having the highest stats, higher than anybody else. And that's where it goes wrong, because that's when they flood it with just... They just go way too far with it. They're shoving so much gear in your face at all times to the point where it loses its impact. It loses its special nature. It loses its importance because they're flooding it. There is too much of a good thing, and that is how this system is in a nutshell. It's a good system, but there's way too much of it to the point where it starts detracting from the system and making it really bogged down, both time-wise that it consumes, and we're going to get into the UI and all that shit as well, because there is... So many fucking... There's a lot of problems here that's causing the player to waste time. And that's what the worst offender of this whole thing is. Opening a box. Why do I have to sit through a 10-second animation just to open up a box? If I'm sitting there opening up 300 boxes in one sitting, that shit takes forever. We're talking a couple hours dedicated just to opening fucking boxes. And yes, that's going to the bronze... box system, but that's the best way to unlock shit is through the bronze boxes. So I shouldn't be punished for finding the best way to get shaders and abilities and epic gear, because opening up one gold for 25,000 versus 25 bronze, I'm more likely to get the shaders and abilities by opening up the bronze. So it's just monotonous, but that's not even the worst part is how long it fucking takes to open them and the fact that you can't buy multiple. Let's talk about the inventory part. Why does each character have a set inventory amount? That is just, all of these are designed to be a pain in the ass to the consumer on purpose. Like this, they know the system that they have and there's no ifs, ors, or buts about it. Like, 50, like, okay, my level 2 Joker is maxed at 50 right now. So that means when I get his gear, I have to continually monitor him more than, say, a character that I have 100 slots. So now I continually have to go into Joker's inventory of 50, sell all the shit that I don't want, and then rinse and repeat for 29 characters I have to monitor to make sure that they aren't filled up. Because what happens when they fill up?
Once your character has all possible gear and slots, all slots are filled up, you should just stop running gear for that character until you fix that.
Yes, absolutely, 100% yes. Because you know what happens when the character fills up? It starts going into overflow. But guess what? Overflow is capped at 20. Never gets better. You don't earn more overflow slots for whatever reason. But why is this even a thing? Why do we have inventory? You want to know why we have a set amount of pieces that you can have? Because there's a shit ton of pieces that aren't even necessary. It's just monotonous. I mean, I don't even... there's so many fucking things to talk about with this. But okay, let's go to the overflow. So now you have to flow because it can fill up to a point where once you hit 20, now if you earn shit for that character, say you get an epic gear, that epic gear is gone. It's just gone. It doesn't take precedent in the overflow. It's not like the overflow continually funnels out on the back end. So the first piece that went into the overflow is the first one gone once it fills up. And it just continually is... Basically, it keeps your last 20 that you've earned that go into the overflow. It doesn't work like that. Once you fill up those 20, anything new that is gotten is just wasted. It's just wasted time. So you are forced to sell the shit for the characters. And what happens when you sell the shit? Guess what? You get more credits. You go buy more shit, and then you fill up again. It's like it's a never-ending vicious circle of time you have to dedicate to micromanaging the fucking game just so. And the only reason you can't ignore this system, the only reason you can't say, well, fuck it, I just don't even want to pay attention to it, is because if you just do that, then you're just going to start losing out on good pieces for the character that you actually fucking want. And another thing with the boxes, it's just there's so many characters and so many pieces and so many different rarities and so on and so forth that you're not, like, the amount of time you get shit for your actual characters that you play seems very rare. Like, I will go through 200 boxes and maybe get one epic item, if I'm lucky, for the few characters that I play. Like, it sucks. Yet I'll keep getting epic items for characters that I have hardly even touched, that are the lowest level. And I have to think that's by design.
On that topic, I just went through my Dr. Fate gears. I have not touched Dr. Fate at all. And yeah, I had like a good 35 epic items from, like, why?
Yes, exactly. And that's not just you, dude. I can go through mine right now. I got it pulled up. And there's several characters that I have hardly touched that I have a ton of epic gear for. Let's see. Aquaman, I have a ton. Let's see. Batman, I have a ton. I barely touched Batman. Black Canary, I have a lot. Blue Beetle, I have a shit ton. I have, let's see, how many is there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's 9 in a row. I have almost 3 rows of epic gear for Blue Beetle, and I hardly touched them. Same with Brainiac, level 2. Captain Cold. Catwoman's level 8, and she has a ton of epic gear. Who else? Dr. Fate's level 11. I have a shit ton for him as well. Flash is level 5. Shit ton for him. Green Arrow, shit ton. Green Lantern, shit ton. Harley, shit ton. So on and so forth. And all those characters I just listed, I have more for than I do Poison Ivy or Scarecrow. Supergirl, more than Poison Ivy or Scarecrow. Swamp Thing, more than Poison Ivy or Scarecrow. Wonder Woman, more than Poison Ivy or Scarecrow. So on and so forth. So yeah, I have to think that's by design. Like, it's almost like it's purposely putting priority on characters you barely have even touched to make it even longer and more of a grind to find the shit you want, so you keep buying into it. Let's get into the problem of when you earn something, you don't even know what the fuck it is. That, to me, drives me insane. When I go open up a box, I have three generic, or I have generic images. Oh, it's a chest piece for that character. Oh, it's legs for that character. Oh, it's arms for that character. But you don't actually know what the fuck it is. Why does it not preview it for you when you open the box to see if you even want it? And let's get to the next point of that. You should be able to sell shit as soon as you open the box. When you open the box and it shows you the items you got, you should be able to select said items and sell them right there on the spot. You should not have to go into the inventory for your character, find said item, and then sell it. That is bad. That's just bad structuring. It just does not, none of this flows well together. So it just feels so monotonous and like you are just wasting time that could be spent on playing the fucking game. There's just so much time.
That part of it doesn't even feel like it's something they did on purpose to get more money out of you. There's no way to profit from that. I agree.
Yeah, that one's just bad.
It's not a microtransaction to put looking at a piece and selling it on the same screen, which doesn't exist. Like,
right.
That's all I want. I just want to be able to look at something so that I know what I'm selling while I press the button to sell it.
Exactly.
Instead of having to memorize the names and stats of things.
That's the next point, is that's not even kind of, I mean, that's related to what I was talking about. I was talking more when you earn the box, like just when you show, when it shows the pieces that you just earned in that specific box, you should be able to sell it right there on the spot and you should be able to see a preview of it. But when you go into the inventory, what you're talking about is also important, because when you go to your inventory, you can't go to your inventory, look at the pieces on your character, and choose to sell it there, which you should be able to do. No, you have to go to a specific spot in the inventory section where, once again, it's just generic images that do not show what you're actually selling. So to your point, you have to memorize names. And sometimes you get multiples of items and bullshit like that. I mean, I've gotten the same three or four epics for Ivy several times, and it's fucking disappointing when you open that box and, oh, I got these same epic leg pieces for the fourth time. Great. Glad
I've
that happened.
Repeatedly gotten two items that have the same name but don't look the same. Like,
that's even,
they'll have different
weird
belts on the leg or some shit like that, even though the title is the same.
Yeah, but
and some RNG shit on here.
But yes, to your point though, you should be able to see what you're selling on that spot. It should be done in the inventory section. When you're trying on shit for your character and seeing if you like it or not, you should be able to just press two buttons and there, it's gone. Like, it shouldn't be back and forth. There's no reason to have an inventory section where you just go through and sell it like that. You can do that for like a convenience sake. Like, oh, and speaking of convenient, there should be a button that says sell all. Like, if there's a character that I just do not give a fuck about and their inventory keeps filling up, I shouldn't have to tap triangle over, triangle over, triangle over, triangle over, and then select each individual item and then sell them. That is time consuming. All of this is time consuming. The moral of the story at the root of it is this all takes fucking time. So in Chad's case, so to speak, you don't have a lot of time to play this game. Do you really want to be spending hours on end selling fucking shit that you don't even want any part of? No.
No,
you want to be playing the fucking game.
That's a false disorder, and the fact that I have all of this shit drives me insane. And I want to get the character looking the best possible way, but this whole UI is a goddamn pain in the ass to invent. Ugh! I'm going back to Zelda next week. Anyway.
But yes, so, I mean, we're not, like, shitting on the game. The game is still amazing. It's this aspect of the game that needs a whole lot of fucking work. This is something that they could easily patch. This is not unsavable. This is something that they could easily just tighten up the inventory, tighten up how, you know, the previewing of gear, tighten up how you unlock gear. If you play a certain character a lot, that gear bias, or the character bias that works when you're playing the character, when you're playing a character through like multiverse or online, you do earn their gear most often than not. But when you're opening up boxes, that bias does not come into play. There's no way it does. Not at all. And it should. Any character that has more play time, you should be earning more for that character. That's just how it goes, in my opinion. Once you get them level up to level 20, those are the things you should be unlocking more. If you care about that character and want to earn more of their gear, level them the fuck up. That should be how it works. If I never touch Black Adam, why am I still earning a shit ton of his gear? I don't need it. I just don't need it. So, and if you're going to play every character, or if you want everybody's gear, you're going to level them all up anyways to put that gear on. So it fixes itself. Nobody's being left out there. So it's just, it's such a clunky system. It's just a mess. It's a disaster. Many people are complaining about it. Whether they'll fix it, I do not know. But they need to, because I am tired of wasting the time. I've gotten to the point where I just buy gold because I'm just like, fuck it, I don't want to spend any more time on it. I got what I was looking for in Scarecrow. I got the plague mask, I got the fucking jacket with the torn up shit, I got the straight jacket. I got all the shit for Scarecrow that I really wanted, but like, I don't even know what all the options are, so I don't know whether grinding is still worth it at this point. But at this point, it's just like, if you're still waiting, say your Django, for instance, is a great example. He's grinding like hell just to get the fucking staff ability for Robin so he can really, you know, start getting his gameplay where he wants it to be. And he said he opened up a million bronze boxes, and I believe him. He opened up a million bronze boxes and only got one ability for Robin, and it wasn't even the one he was looking for. Like, to me, that is just asinine. It's insane. So it's just,
if like it's a character bias option in the menus is something that actually functions. There seems to be some debate about that.
It works when you're playing the character. So when you're earning shit after the match, I believe it does, because
it works to get gear, but it has nothing to do with shaders and abilities, as far as I can tell.
It doesn't have anything to do with the mother boxes. When you're opening up mother boxes, it's just a complete crapshoot in terms of it can be absolutely anything. So.
Well, you open up mother boxes outside of when you're playing the game, so it doesn't know which character it's supposed to be biased toward.
But it should, based on just character level and playtime with the character, in my opinion. So, say, like I said before, say you want a lot of Batman gear. Say you're Dr. Fate's at 20, but you want to start earning gear for Batman. The more you level them up, the higher the chance you are to earn that gear. So if there's characters that are left at one level one, and there's like five characters that you really want gear for are all level 20, I feel like it should be in the favor of the characters that are level 20 more than the characters that are level one. Because by the time, I mean, it's pointless earning gear at level one characters anyways, because you're just going to want to fucking level it up
down
the
line
anyways. So it's just, it just seems... The left hand does not know what the right hand is doing. It seems so janky and not fluid at all, from implementation to the navigation to all of that. So, like, it's a great system in theory. I like the system. It's fun in the sense that I like all the options that you get. I just don't... The amount of gear for each character needs to be cut by about 50%. And you can still have all the cool options. It's just you're cutting away the little fucking minute changes that are unnecessary. So dial it back by about 50%. And then fix the, you know, how often you earn shit for certain characters. And then, more importantly than all of that, fucking fix how you sell shit and navigate through all this and buy things and so on and so forth. That is the worst, most time-consuming aspect. I've spent at least 10 to 15 hours just buying boxes and selling shit and managing inventory, so on and so forth. And that is way, way, way more. Because that's not a fun aspect to the game. It's fun to, like, put the gear on the characters and decide what you want them to look like. And playing the game, obviously. It's not fun to fucking navigate through menus and wait for the box to pop open and weird shit like that.
It is. Why do you have to hold the button down to open a box? What is that about?
That's annoying, and I hate that the character or the controller rumbles. That I could probably fix in the menu, but I hate that when I set my controller down on the damn desk, my controller rumbles every time I open a box. It's like, how fucking annoying is that? But yeah. So that's rant done. This is something that I feel like many of the community members definitely can relate to and feel and agree with. So please, if anybody's listening out there, and I know other people have mentioned on Reddit and stuff and have gotten a lot of likes on upvotes on it, so they have to know that people are not happy with how time-consuming and monotonous and clunky the system is. I think a lot of people are happy with the gear system in theory. It's just it needs a lot of refining, absolutely. So the fact that they have their netcode and a lot of the more important aspects of this game are where they need to be. Hopefully that means they can take the time to fix some of this other shit that's just quality of life stuff to make everybody's lives easier and the game go quicker and smoother, so on and so forth. So,
did you imagine this year's MK game and getting sick of seeing one of your all-time favorite accoutrements for one of your characters pop up all the time? I don't ever want to see that shit happen.
Yeah,
this is a beta test for
MK. This is why I say... all I want is the costume designer system from Tekken, where you only have one of every item, and there's not, like, stats attached to it. You just, you earn or buy whatever, and then you can dress the character the way you want them to look. It's a much cleaner menu, and I'm really afraid of what would happen if they brought gear to MK the way the clunky menus and the earning doubles of items and the fact that I can't tell one set of cheetah legs apart from another because the only thing different is how many straps are on the thigh.
Yeah.
Like, just give me one that's strapped up legs, one that's bare legs, and one that's just boots, and one that's just knee pads. They don't need to have these tiny, minute differences. I don't need that much.
It's gotten to the point where when I earn stuff, even for Scarecrow and Poison Ivy, unless it's epic, I don't even go look at it anymore, because I know it's not going to be that different from all the other shit that I've seen already. So, unless it's epic, I don't even give it the time of day at this point. And in terms of selling, I'm probably selling shit that I like, but unless I have it equipped, I'm just like, fuck it. Out of the five layouts or loadouts that I have, if I don't have it equipped on one of those, then it's like, whatever, I guess it's expendable, unless it's an epic. But I sell everything else at that point, because it's just like, fuck, I can't, I'm tired of wasting the time to manage all this. Speaking of which, real quick, can we get some more fucking loadouts, at least for level 20 characters? Shit, I mean, you have so many shaders and so much gear options, why are we limited to only five different sets of those? Give me more. Give me 10 if you're going to give me that. If you're going to throw that much shit at my face, at least let me save more of it as a fucking loadout.
I wonder if there are memory problems or something. Like, that's why you can only have 100 pieces and 5 loadouts. I don't know. It's the only explanation I can think of, because otherwise it's artificial, and why would you do that?
To waste people's fucking time. Like, honestly, that's how it feels. And if it's memory problems, I feel like all of this is saved on our hard drives, not the game or anything. So if it's running off our hard drives, we're choosing how much space we want to take up with this shit. So if that's the case, then let us fucking do what we gotta do. Like,
I don't know. There might be an upper limit on how much of your hard drive the game is allowed to fill up. I'm not sure how that.
Yeah,
there actually is. In terms of save data, normal games can only take about 1 gig. And that is that is equaled by the amount of hard drive space that they can take up as well. It's 1 gig both ways. I work in the industry. Mwah.
Well, that's fair enough. I mean, if it's a limit that's out of their control, but that doesn't mean that I don't want a delete button on the screen where I look at what it looks like. That's important.
Yeah, that stuff. Yeah, there's no excuse for any of that kind of shit. You should be able to see a preview of the damn thing, and you should be able to, when you're trying stuff on, you should be able to sell it right there. That's just how it is. And there should also be a sell all shit, because like I said, going through 50 items and pressing triangle 50 times as well as the arrow key is not fun. That is not a good way to spend 2 minutes. It's just not. But anyways, that's all I had to say on that. I just really wanted to get a lot of that shit off. It doesn't really change my score of the game, because this is just little side shit. I'm happy with my characters as is. I can just ignore this for the rest of time. But at this fucking point, it's one of those things that just seems so unnecessary. And yeah, I'm hoping they'll change it in time. I really do.
Oh yeah. My gig stats, those are PS4. Xbox actually has a lot more storage space in some respects.
They do. Yeah. I know in past, like when I've played, like especially with DLC and stuff that's added on, you can really rack up some gigs for certain games that you play. But anyways, anybody else have anything they want to throw in here before we close out the episode? Next week, we will cover the remaining arcade endings, as well as anything else that's announced or revealed during that time, of course. But I think we covered everything from the past week. So on that note, Temp, you still here with us?
No, I'm still here. Okay. Well, I'll just throw in that, as with all the issues with the gear system, what compounds it is, if you want to be successful in multiverse, you have to do all this shit. You have to optimize. So sure. That's all I was going to throw in. You don't really have a choice. And I know you said you don't, like, if I don't give a shit about this character, I'm not going to buy gear for this character. But some multiverse events, if you want the bonus, or if you want to even participate in the event, you have to have a good Wonder Woman. You have to have. Day one, I bought the game. There's a multiverse event for Batman.
Yeah,
I didn't know how to use them yet, so I'm like, well, fuck this shit. Now, so I'm optimizing pretty much everyone, whether I like it or not, and I hate it. Even the shaders, which I was most excited about, it's like Green Lantern and two other characters. Most of the shaders don't look that good to me, so yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, like, the shaders that I thought would look good that I wanted the most, like gray and blue Batman, they ruined it with stripes on his arm and little bits and bobs that are the wrong color.
Even the contrast is weird. So yeah, they just don't look right to me.
That's my problem with it. I mean, I agree with the certain colors shouldn't be on certain parts of his armor and shit. It just doesn't make sense. But my biggest problem with that gray and blue and yellow one is, like, one, the blue seems way too fucking bright. Like, it's just weird. It looks plasticky. Like, it's, like, bright plastic.
It looks Halloween costume-ish.
Yes, and the yellow is way too bright. Like, it just, it just doesn't look right. The color scheme seems like, it's like if you told somebody about what Batman's color scheme is. It's like, hey, what does Batman wear? What's his classic colors? Oh, it's blue, gray, and yellow. Oh, okay. That's all. Like, there was no further explanation of what it should look like. I don't know.
Shit is gross.
Yeah, it's rough. I don't know what the hell. Like, the yellow is just off. The blue seems a bit off. They should have put out, like, a one with a slightly muted blue, so it's not so fucking plasticky and bright. Like, it just looks like a toy. That's the best way to describe that. He looks like a fucking toy. But anyways.
I just don't really get what's so difficult about taking a bunch of classic pieces and throwing them in the game and letting you make your own preferred version of the character. Oh, wait. I know why. So they can sell them to us later.
Yeah, I mean, they could have just as easily given us color scheme options and let us choose which piece is what color, and that would have at least allowed us to make things the correct color, but instead, they just wanted to go for the quick and simple. So it's like, here's your three colors for this scheme, and it's just arbitrarily placed as it's assigned by primary piece, accent color, and tertiary color. That's all it's done. Like, the blue doesn't go where the blue should go, the gray doesn't always go where the gray should go, and the yellow as the third color definitely doesn't go where it should go. So yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, they got the colors there, but they don't have it in the right spot, so at that point, why'd you even do it? So
that reminds me, actually, that was a huge misconception I had about the shaders going into the game. I thought every character would have some sort of spectrum of the rainbow available. That is not fucking true. That is not even close to true. Swamp Thing has like five brown shaders. Yeah. Why?
I feel the same way about Poison Ivy. It's like, it's all green, yellow, or red. And yeah, it's like, why do you need certain other colors? Why do you need a black and white, you know, Poison Ivy or whatever? But it's just, I mean, these are all options.
I was in the end better able to customize my characters in terms of the color that I could give them 20 years ago in Darkstalkers 3. Chew on that.
But that's it. I do like a lot of Poison Ivy shaders. but the point still stands that, yeah, a lot of characters suffer. Poison Ivy I don't think is necessarily that bad by any means. Scarecrow is pretty good too, but even like Scarecrow, it's like, what if I want this color for Scarecrow? No, it's all just pretty much browns, reds, or greens.
The Batman shaders just remind me of an action figure line. Like, here's Camo Batman, and here's Arctic Blast.
Oh, yeah.
Batman. Yeah.
I ran into snowsuit with Ski Pole Batman last night. A lot of fun.
Yeah, that one's fucking weird.
I've managed to collect them all. That's what this game's about. Collect them all.
I want to throw out there, if the character wears a suit, like Blue Beetle, it's predominantly metal and, I guess, alien nylon, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. Why not give me a silver shader where he's just silver? Why does he need, like, fucking red under, like, fucking... It's like the fucker's wearing a corset or some shit. I don't know why they need that. Like, just give me a gold Blue Beetle. Just make him fucking gold. Don't add a... Anyway. I love the game. I really do. But there's some weird, weird design choices going on here.
Yeah, we all love the game, so don't take... I know this was more of a heavy rant over the last, like, 40 minutes, but, I mean, we've been nothing but praising this game, so this is more just like, hey, here's an issue with this side system to it. But, I mean, it's not really side, it's in your face at the whole fucking time, but at the end of the day, I mean, the game still plays amazing, and that's what's important to all of us, so.
We bitch because we love.
That's true. We just want it to be the best it can be, you know?
Yeah, sure. It's constructive criticism. This isn't just criticism. We're not just criticizing what's wrong with it. We're offering alternatives of what it should be to make it better for everybody. So don't, I know there's going to be some people already that are just like, man, you guys are shitting on this or complaining, but if you don't feel this way, then bless you for not feeling like the fatigue of the gear system and just the clunkiness of it. Bless you. That's great. But I've put a ton of time into this fucking game. And when you put that much time and you're just binging and you're grinding this shit out, you really are like, ugh, man, why do I need to spend another 2 hours opening boxes? It becomes a chore, and a game should not be a chore.
Say this. There are reasons why Capcom threw out their Zenny system. It was bullshit. They knew it was bullshit. Yeah. Everyone knew it was bullshit. There was some bullshit happening here.
So it was bullshit.
Might have been bullshit. Oh, might have been.
I do want to toss on there, too, for the listeners out there. If you want, like, a positivity binge, it's coming. We're not done praising this game. We have a lot of stuff to analyze, too. So just stay tuned for that.
The DLC, I'm sure when we're talking about the DLC at this rate, it's probably going to be a ton of positivity going forward. So we're going to have a lot of great things to say about Red Hood, I'm sure, going forward. Starfire, I would imagine, is in the same boat, Sub-Zero.
To fix the system. I'm a person of relatively small need when it comes to mucking with characters. When Red Hood comes in, I'm just going to take him, I'm going to go into the menu, and I'm going to change his fucking brown coat black. That's all I need.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, he looks great. Like, his starting gear is fantastic. Like, pretty comic accurate. That's all I really want. And, like, I still think this game has one of the best rosters NRS has ever done.
100%.
No doubt.
That includes the DLC, so that's going to keep being a thing.
Yep, absolutely. Wholeheartedly agree.
Don't forget that it is possible to play this game and not give a single flying fuck about any of the gear.
It's possible. I mean, there are certain aspects that are going to suffer because of not paying attention to them. But yeah, I mean, you can go on online multiplayer and never touch the gear if that's your thing. You can play base characters as they are, put on competitive mode, and you never have to think twice about it. It's more if you're going to do the multiverse. Basically, if you want to earn more, that's when you have to pay attention to the gear. But yeah, if you don't give a fuck about gear, then...
I'm glad that I can dress up my character, because I finally have the perfect Superman. Like, he has the least amount of lines and seams, and he just, like, looks like the comics.
Yeah,
I'm happy with my Superman now. Now it's the other 27 characters I gotta worry about.
So much patience required. So much selling shit and then rebuying it because you had no room. But patience of a saint.
But it's a lot of work. So tune in. There's gonna be a lot more positivity, and yeah, I mean, I've said nothing but a lot of praise about this game, and we all have for the most part. So doesn't end there. We just needed to get that out of the way. That's more like, that's not something we're going to harp on going forward unless they continually somehow add more clunkiness to it. But we got our rant out. So that's that. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for checking out the episode. Hopefully they raise the guild amount, because I'm still hoping to get more people in there. On that note, though, we will catch you next week for episode 69. Got something special planned. Put on your Sunday best. I left the dress on the bed.
Remember, we were only half angry this time through. We were mostly positive. We got a little bit of Harvey Dent going on here. Believe in us, please.
Please?
And Harvey Dent.
But all right, we'll see you guys next time for episode 69. You guys. Yeah, I didn't catch any of that. You guys take care and have a good one.
Good night, everyone.
Stay up for 69.
Peace.
friendship. Friendship? Again?